This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning. Welcome again to our lesson. We thank you for tuning us in, and I trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. Now, for those of you, again, who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. It actually can be downloaded and sent on to others through email or in some other fashion. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we'd be happy to take prayer requests or comments on the program. Now, we've been looking at some of the people in the Bible who have been lessons to me. We went through the Bible looking mostly at men and a few women, and we've decided to go back through the Bible and look at women that are very prominent and very important in the story of Christianity. And one of those that we looked at was Bathsheba last time, who really is a, in my opinion, kind of a bad example, and yet she's an example of the grace that God shows to sinners. And David and Bathsheba have left a mark with regard to what not to do, and yet they have been privileged to be used of God in spite of their sin. I take it because they had both faithfully come to the Lord with that sin. And while we don't know that Bathsheba really ever confessed sin, we do know that David did, and was in anguish over what he had done. And so the Lord was able to use them in spite of their sin. And it's a lesson to us, because sometimes we feel we've made mistakes where the Lord cannot use us. But if we come to the Lord and talk to him about it, confess that sin, we might have a tender heart for others that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And we might very well be able to be used of God because of being humbled in the presence of God, rather than being proud, as many people are when they say they're saved. They feel that God has singled them out to be really a special people, in the sense that he chose them to be saved. And I feel that there's a certain pride associated with that. I don't feel God chooses anyone to be lost, and I don't feel he chooses anyone to be saved, but he gives us the will, the free will, to respond to the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and he gives us the ability to respond and to trust in the truth that Christ died for our sins. And when we do, he doesn't choose us to do that, but what he does is he chooses those who do that to be his people. In the Old Testament, his people were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the New Testament, his people are those who are children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he doesn't choose us to believe, to be honest with you. In my opinion, he chooses true believers to be his special people in this day and age. And as we look at those special people, one of them that I want to look at is Mary Magdalene, who is a picture of a devoted worshiper in the New Testament. And I'm going to read to you from Mark chapter 16, which says, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" And I just want to stop here for a moment and say that the stone was rolled away so that they could see in. I do not believe the stone was rolled away because that was necessary for the Lord to get out of that tomb. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said unto you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And that when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. And really, along with reading this from Mark 16, we should be reading as well from John chapter 20 with regard to Mary Magdalene, because we find out that she came to that tomb, lingered there after the others had left, after John and Peter had left, and they had believed, but they had believed that his body had been stolen away. We don't always understand that from John 20. And so when she actually saw the Lord and went and told them, they did not believe. And that's an important issue as far as I'm concerned. You'll notice as we look at Mary Magdalene that she had been afflicted by demons. I don't know if we could say that we're afflicted by demons today or not, but I believe we are. And I do believe that oftentimes we use medication when perhaps we ought to be using the scriptures and prayer to help people with their problems, with their depression and other issues. I'm not saying that I don't like using medication. I think medication has its place. But it's a whole lot better when you can turn to the Lord and get freed of these things through spiritual means because of the love of the Lord and his cleansing power. So I'm going to leave it with you as to whether we can be cleansed of demons today or whether we can't, and whether demons really indwell us today. But I'll tell you, I look at some people and I'm convinced that they are controlled by an evil spirit. They do not have the spirit of love and grace that they ought to have. They're just simply afflicted, and we need to pray for those people regardless of the means that are used to deliver them. But she was delivered from seven demons. He had cast out seven demons from her. She must have been a mental mess before she met the Lord. And in a way, I want to equate what happened to her to what happens to us when we come in simple trusting faith to the Savior and find out that he died for us and that he wants to put away our sin, that he wants us for his own special people. When we first find out how our sin has separated us from God and we realize we need to be saved and we come to understand that Christ died for us according to the scripture, certainly that would be much like having the demons cast out of us, because now we're going to be able to think right and act right, and our lives are going to be different. And just as Mary became a true worshiper of the Lord and seemed to have been totally devoted to him after this had happened, after he had cast out the seven demons, I asked myself, if she's a picture of true worship, What do we look like in terms of true worship to the Lord? Because while she had been afflicted by demons, you'll notice that one of the things she did is she provided for the anointing of him after his death. She provided spices and ointments. They didn't want to do anything on the Sabbath day, but as soon as the Sabbath was over, they went to the tomb to anoint him. And that shows to me their love of him and their desire to honor him and to provide for a proper burial. Actually, he was a king and he was crucified. And the world had intended to give him a pauper's funeral, but because of Joseph of Arimathea and some of these women, including Mary Magdalene, he got the true burial of a true king. And it showed the Lord's love and honor for his son. You'll notice that she was not only one who was there to anoint him after his death on the first day of the week, and she came very early. She came as early as she could, but she was also at the cross. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Now, that's a Mary. And his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, that's another Mary, and Mary Magdalene. And so she was at the cross, and his mother was at the cross. And it's interesting that that must have really hurt to see what was happening to the Lord by supposedly their religious leaders who had decided that they needed to get rid of him in order that they might have a prominent place in the people's heart, that they could rule the people. And they were going to rule regardless of the evidence that the Lord gave them that he was in fact the King of the Jews. He came as a spiritual king, but nevertheless he was the King of the Jews. And instead of them accepting him, they wanted to make sure that they didn't let him compete with their own honor, their own office, and their own esteem. But she was at the cross, and it turns out that, as I mentioned before, she lingered after Peter and John had left the tomb. They had been there, they had looked in, and it said they believed, but when you look at it carefully, they must have believed what Mary had said, because Mary had told them, "They have stolen away my Lord, and I know not where they have taken him." But while she, after everybody left in John 20, and she lingers at that tomb, she sees this man that she thinks is a gardener. And he's been so disfigured, she doesn't recognize him as being the Lord himself, apparently. And in John 20, verse 15, we read, "Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.'" She still wanted to give him that anointing that she thought he needed and deserved, and she was willing to carry him away. I wonder what kind of a lady this was and what kind of strength she has, because she says, "If you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And it appears at this time that she was alone at this tomb. But Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And that's when he spoke her name, that's when she realized that she was talking to the Lord who had cast seven demons out of her and whom she loved. And so she was able to be the first person to see the Lord after he had been raised from the dead. And she went, according to both John, the Apostle John, and according to the writings of Mark, she went to tell the others. And when she told the others, they did not believe. And so I say that she was one of the first at the tomb. She stood at the cross. She was the first to see the Lord raised from the dead. And she was the first evangelist who was not believed, even by those who should have believed. She was the first one who did not believe. And so we need to understand that not everybody is going to believe us when we tell them of the miraculous relationship we have with the Lord either. And when we tell them that we have been cleansed from our sin, maybe we haven't had demons cast out, but we've been saved for eternity, and we can thank God for that and tell others about that. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.